From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we begin 1 year ago today.
And breaking news tonight, the deadly siege on Congress as an angry pro-Trump mob storms the U.S. Capitol. We've seen shocking images of chaos, rioters rushing past barricades and police up the Capitol steps.
The pro-Trump crowd fought with the police, trying to break through their lines, intoxicated by the unlikely prospect of reversing America's election outcome.
Members of Congress were rushed to a safe location.
And it will stand in recess until the call of the chair.
Boss.
Protesters are in the building.
Thank you.
Police faced off with armed rioters on the floor of the House.
The invaders roaming the abandoned Senate floor, one hanging from the balcony, police with guns drawn inside the House.
In the months after, federal officials arrested and charged hundreds of men and women who had breached the Capitol, including several from here in Illinois. Nevertheless, supporters of former President Trump have downplayed the nature of what happened that day, as they have with a big lie that President Trump did not, in fact, lose the election. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin went after this point last March at a hearing with the FBI Director Christopher Wray.
The next big lie appears to be the argument that somehow or another those were not Trump supporters who invaded the Capitol. I'd like to ask you, Director Wray, do you agree that the Capitol attack involved white supremacists and other violent extremists?
Certainly the Capitol attack involved violent extremists. As I said, we, the FBI, consider this a form of domestic terrorism. It included a variety of backgrounds, quite a number who what we would call sort of militia violent extremists. So we've got a number who self-identify with, you know, the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers, things like that. We also have a couple of instances where we've already identified individuals involved in the criminal behavior who we would put in the racially motivated violent extremists who advocate for what you would call sort of white supremacy.
Form of domestic terrorism, militia violent extremists, and white supremacists. We're going to spend our entire show talking about not only what happened 1 year ago today, but also what's happened in the year since and what the future holds for American democracy. We begin with Illinois' other U.S. Senator, Tammy Duckworth. She was in the Capitol complex during the siege last year and is there again this week. In order to make our schedules meet, I spoke with her Wednesday afternoon. Because of that, we're not taking calls for this part of the show, but you will be able to join us later. I began by asking Senator Duckworth where she was, what she remembered about the moment when she first learned the Capitol was being breached.
I was in the tunnels under the Capitol. The Capitol had been breached at 2:15. The first breach occurred. At 2:30, I was in the tunnels making my way to the floor because I was about to speak at 2:50, and I was going to stop in my auxiliary office that's in the Capitol before making my way to the floor. And I was in the tunnels at 2:30 when the Capitol Police stopped me and said, they've breached the Capitol. We were locking down the Capitol. You can still make it to the Senate floor if you go right now, and then we'll evacuate you with the rest of the other senators, and you'll be together with the other senators. At which point I made the decision to not proceed forward because I'm a wheelchair user and I know that there's no running down the stairs with me and they people would have to carry me. So at that point, right. I said, you know what, I'm going to go secure myself in a safe location. You guys come get me later. And that's what I did. I proceeded to my main office and went into the innermost offices to my staff members. Darkened the offices, locked the doors, turned off the lights, barricaded ourselves in, and waited about 3-4 hours before the Capitol Police could come and rescue us and reunite me with the other senators in the secure location where they had moved everybody to.
Did you feel unsafe during that time?
I had every trust in the Capitol Police officers. I will tell you, in the moment, it never occurred to me how significant the breach was going to be and that the Capitol Police would not have been able to stop it. As the hours wore on and I watched everything on television, I realized how significant it was. And then I knew that very much so our lives were in danger because of what the protesters were shouting and you know, we were watching on television and seeing them use, you know, the American flag to beat police officers. And in fact, my auxiliary office in the Capitol is right next to where they breached. And so I could see them on television trying to break through the windows of my office and you know, using a battering, some sort of battering ram, you know, something to ram the door of my auxiliary office, which had I made it to my office, I would have been locked inside while they were trying to come through. And I was, you know, picking up, even though they came through and they cleaned up our offices pretty well, I was still picking up broken pieces of glass and debris for weeks afterwards. So yes, as the hours wore on, it became more and more clear how dangerous the situation was. But in the very beginning, I didn't think it was, because I didn't realize that the Capitol Police would be, you know, engaging in 8 to 10 hours of hand-to-hand battle, going into that time period.
As you know, the Justice Department has arrested hundreds of people, I think some 700 people so far, but those are mostly people who actually trespassed or damaged property or attacked police officers. There have not really been prosecutions of people who might have been planning or stoking the insurrection. I wonder how far up you think legal responsibility for January 6th should go.
Oh, I think we should follow the thread all the way to the end. I mean, look, I spent my entire adult life defending our democracy. You know, I spent 23 years in uniform. I never thought I'd need to defend our nation's capital for people waving the same American flag I wore on my uniform as they broke down the doors to our nation's capital. But I want to be clear, the insurrection didn't start and end on that day a year ago. In fact, Republicans have spent the last year since January 6th of 2021 promoting the big lie and changing the rules so that it will be easier for them to overturn the next election. And frankly, this is the time to redouble our efforts to make our democracy stronger than ever before. And that means we have to hold accountable those responsible for that, the horrific violence on that day. But we've got to also make it clear that in this country, the power of the people will always matter more than the people in power, and that the folks who were leading the charge and spreading the big lie, you know, will be held accountable for their actions that day.
There's a couple of threads I want to pull on there. And one though, you just mentioned the power of the people. And I think it's clear that a lot of people who participated that day and have bought into the big lie since then really believe what they've been told, right? One judge told one of the January 6th defendants that he was, quote, clearly a pawn and had essentially been brainwashed by conspiracy theories. I wonder, do you think people were pawns? And what can be done to fight that kind of misinformation?
Well, we have to hold accountable the people who spread those lies. We have to stop those lies from being spread. You know, we got to hold accountable the likes of social media companies, but we also have to go after the folks who really encouraged the insurrection to occur and the folks who are trying to hide their involvement. And I think the bipartisan commission on January 6th, you know, I was reading recently that it actually, the work they're doing has significant support across the American population, including among Republicans who, you know, are applauding that they are doing this work of getting to the truth. And that's what we need to do, is to get the truth out that, people were being lied to that day. And frankly, we have to hold accountable to the folks who promoted the lie and spread the lie, beginning with Donald Trump and those his closest advisors around him.
One of the other things you mentioned is that there are people across the country who are sort of, how do you say it, planning for how to respond to the next election and maybe not making what in their view were the mistakes they made last time, right? Which, of course, is election officials who stood up for actually, you know, counting the ballots the way they were supposed to be and not overturning the will of the people. What has Congress done to strengthen the guardrails on American democracy?
Well, we are attempting to do that. And we're going, you know, we're attempting to have a vote on voting rights legislation, beginning with, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. But there have been several others, including ones that Republicans have had significant input on. The effort for some of that, those pieces of legislation were led by Senator Manchin. Unfortunately, every time we brought it to the floor to even vote to have an opening to the discussion, no Republicans have voted to even allow us to have the debate on it, except for Lisa Murkowski, the Republican senator from Alaska. She's the only one who said, hey, let's at least have a conversation on the floor about it. So we're still working on it. It might be a purely Democratic vote to do this, but we have to safeguard the election in this nation. You know, and really, it's incredibly vital because across the nation right now, in Republican-controlled states, there is a tsunami of voting restrictions that have been implemented all across the country. And there are even people who are running, you know, for Secretary of State, for example, who are running on a platform to say that they would never certify an election that is won by a Democrat. They're not even saying that, you know, that, you know, say they're basically saying even if a Democrat actually wins the election, they'll never certify it. And that's their platform for running for office. And so we have to oppose that. If anything, Americans should support our democracy. We should defend our democracy. And that means that we can't go about disenfranchising fellow Americans. We can't go back to the days of how many jelly beans are in the jar before you can vote. And that starts here in the Senate, where we need to pass voting rights legislation.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth. We tape this interview Wednesday afternoon, so we're not taking calls for this segment. But Senator Duckworth, so you've mentioned the some of the things that Democrats in Congress are working on, the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, the For the People Act is another. But as I understand those, neither of them would address the way states certify electors to the Electoral College. And we've seen, as you just mentioned, Republican officials saying they would vote to nullify the popular vote. That even happened after the January 6th insurrection last year. Isn't there a disconnect between, as important as voting rights are, between focusing on that and some of the other core elements of, you know, what people are doing out there that could undermine American democracy?
Well, I think we need to do both, right? And people need to be able to vote. I mean, some of the legislation has already been passed. You know, right now, I think there's a two-pronged approach among Republicans. One is to disenfranchise voters who they know are less likely to vote for Republicans, persons of color, college students, you know. And then if they can't win the election by cheating and not letting people vote, then there's a second effort, which is to say, even if Democrats win, after we make people count how many jelly beans are in the jar, we're still not going to do what the Constitution says we should do. You know, we're still not going to certify the election. And so we really have to fight both lines of effort. But I do think the beginning where we need to fight is, you know, For the People Act or the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. We have to keep people from being disenfranchised. And then we're going to have to work on, you know, the other portion of it, which is these officials who have been elected who say that they're not going to do the right thing, regardless of you know, the consequences, because they just will not certify an election that's won by a Democrat. And that may take us taking some of these cases to through the judiciary to courts and maybe eventually ending up in the Supreme Court.
Would you favor taking apart these bills in some way? And or, you know, one of the ideas I've seen out there is amending the Electoral Count Act, right? This previously obscure law, and that's what President Trump and other Republicans thought could provide an avenue for Vice President Pence to try to overturn the election results. Would you support doing a sort of piecemeal approach on these things?
I support taking a look at everything. I think that you know, look, I agree with President Biden that inaction on voting rights, inaction on these laws could have a devastating impact on our nation. And we have to work as hard as we can to protect, strengthen, and defend every American's constitutional right to vote. And this also goes to looking at some of these, you know, laws that are in effect or, you know, looking at how we've always done things and then say, okay, there are loopholes here that are being exploited. I'll give you an example. You know, for a senator to be seated, the governor and the secretary of the state must certify that person was elected. And in fact, they could, even if a Democrat is elected, if you had a Republican secretary of state and a Republican governor, they could refuse to certify the election. And that means that the candidate that was elected by the people would not get seated. So we have to look at some of those as well. And I'm certainly open to a real dialogue and looking at what we need to do to restore the right to vote and our elections the way it should be. I mean, we should be the shining light of the free world. People look to America and our small d democracy and on how we do things. And yet we are facing a crisis in this country right now where you have, because of the big lie, a group of Americans on the far right who don't believe that the election in this country are free and fair. And if you keep going and restricting voting rights, you're going to get a group of Americans on the far left who are going to say, hey, it's also not free and fair. And then you're going to have a breakdown in democracy. If we have a majority of the population doesn't believe in our electoral process, this is why it is so important for us to act and act now to safeguard our democracy. I never thought in the 23 years that I wore this nation's uniform, traveling overseas, fighting for the rights of people to vote in Iraq and defending Eastern Europe from the Soviet Union. I never thought that I would have to defend democracy in America, but here we are.
Senator Tammy Duckworth, thank you for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you for having me on.
More to come after a short break. You're listening to the 21st. Stay with us.